we are not an institution like a museum. We don't want to compete with those museums. We want to constantly challenge the formats, and hopefully we can be to inspiration for the established institutions. I also want us to be a stepstone for the artists, because I think many artists experience that it's super, super difficult to enter the art scene. You don't know, where can I enter? Where is there a little door opening for me? Because how do I come into the Nordic scene if I'm an American? Latvia, France, or where's a small hole where I can sneak in? And it's very difficult.
This photography podcast is brought to you by Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. Here is your today's host, W. Scott Olsen, with another fascinating conversation.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast from Frames Magazine. My name is Scott Olsen, and today we are going to do something really, really cool and really, really special. We are going to talk about one of the most exciting things going on in Scandinavia, in Europe. We're going to talk about a photo festival. More precisely, we're going to talk about the Copenhagen Photo Festival, which in the last 15 years has, to use a technical term, exploded. It started as something common, very normal, and it's become the biggest and the brightest photo festival, certainly in Scandinavia, and it aims to be one of the very best in Europe as well. If we're talking about the Copenhagen Photo Festival, then we're talking with Maya Gregersen, Maya Dirahaga Gregersen, who is the managing director of the festival. Before that, she was the festival manager. Before that, she was the head of press, got an MA from the University of Copenhagen. She has been responsible for taking the festival from the way it began and changing it into something that is just planet-wide and absolutely, absolutely essential to a European, a Scandinavian celebration of photography. Maya, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Thank you for this very, very fantastic, full of superlatives introduction. I'm I don't really know where to begin. But thank you for this introduction.
Oh, my pleasure. And you know, we should probably do full disclosure here. One of the reasons I'm really happy to do this interview is because my family background is Danish. As a matter of fact, Copenhagen is where my wife and I spent our honeymoon. It's one of the cities on the planet I absolutely love. But I've also not been there since before there was a bridge over to Malmö. So I used to ride the hydrofoils back and forth. It's been a long time, and my heart just really, really wants to get back there. So to know there's a photo festival out there, I'm looking at plane tickets. I can't wait. So, okay. Bring us up to speed with a little bit of the history of the exhibition, of the festival. When you started, it was pretty much open to all comers. It wasn't terribly curated, but it was a lot of fun. So tell us about the early days.
Yes, but before I begin my little story, I should mention that even though I have been along for a long time, I wasn't part of it from the beginning. I didn't found the festival though. So I became part of it when it was 3 or 4 years old. I guess it's what you would call a toddler. back then it was a very, it was a very local and very, as you said, open, informal festival. I hope we are still informal, but I think what the idea was that photography should basically be for everyone and anywhere. And basically everyone who had something they wanted to show could be part of the program, which was in many ways a super beautiful thought. But when it comes down to it and you actually start curating a photo festival, you soon realize that you do need to have a certain limit of, or certain, how can I say, level of quality. And so I think that what I entered was a very beautiful scene of like the hippie of, you could say like the beautiful hippie of photography in a way. And it was super nice in many ways, but I felt the urge to, maybe make a more clear direction and to say, okay, but let's say that it can still be something that is super relevant for a lot of people, but maybe let's try to say that nothing is really for free, nothing is expensive, but everyone should pay a little thing to be part of this festival. And you should also, you had to apply for it. My vision was to become international. I mean, we live in a super, super small country with only 5 million people and no one else speaks our language. So, I mean, I think that it's good to bring some international vibes to Denmark, and of course also to present to the world outside what we're actually doing here in small Denmark. So I set up an open call for international exhibitions, and I sat down a program committee, and we were super excited. And I clearly remember the very first year we sat there in 2016, and I was like, Jesus, I have no clue how many applications we will have, and I have like no clue of where will they come from, who's actually interested. And I remember that our website was down for a while in this period, so everything was kind of against us. But we sat there in a little room in a restaurant and we went through these 16 applications.
16. Oh my.
And it was, but I was like, I was super proud in a way, and we were all very happy to experience this interest. And I guess I knew that, yeah, we have to start somewhere. And then slowly it increased from year to year. And the year after, I think we had 40, and the 2 years after we had 90, and today we have more than 600. So I think that everything takes time, right? And it's been a long journey.
It's been fantastic. I mean, according to your website, as of this morning, you have 639 applications.
Yes.
From 68 different countries want to come to Copenhagen for this festival.
Yes.
That's magnificent.
It's amazing. And I think that it's also it's a trust, of course, but it's also, I think you need to be a little bit, thankful that you have this huge interest from all over the world. And I feel I'm very proud of this interest, and I go to this job with a lot of, modesty and a deep respect for all those people from all over the world who are actually interested in the Copenhagen Photo Festival. And and you're always like, okay, what exactly is it that they are interested in? Is it Copenhagen, or is it the way we do the exhibitions? And you know, you're always like, why? How do we catch people's attention?
Okay, well, let's stop there for a second, because there's a big difference between a gallery and a festival.
Yes.
And in the early days of the festival, I mean, you've talked about how it was nomadic. You were always trying to find space.
Yes.
And coordinating, you know, different galleries and exhibition spaces and all that. So at its heart, what is a festival supposed to do in your vision?
I think a festival should be the big bridge builder for once. It should be like the center of a scene in a given place. So let's say we have an industry and an art scene in Denmark with many, many diverse institutions related with photography. We should be their center, be the one connecting the contrast between the institutions. And we should also be the ones connecting the established artists with the emerging talents, connect the art scene with the documentary photography scene. So we should be a center. That is one thing. And then I think a festival should always be bold and experimental. It should kind of challenge the existing formats because we only have like 10, 11 days per year to really play. So let's really be playful while we're here. We are not an institution like a museum. We don't want to compete with those museums. We want to constantly challenge the formats, and hopefully we can be to inspiration for the established institutions. That is one thing. And the other thing is that I also want us to be like a stepstone for the artists, because I think many artists experience that it's super, super difficult to enter the art scene. You don't know where can I enter? Where is there a little door opening for me? Because how do I come into the Nordic scene if I'm an American, or if I'm from France, or how do I really, you know, like where is a small hole where I can like sneak in? And it's very difficult. And mm-hmm. I think it's generally very difficult for an artist to feel, to have the courage and the self-esteem to say, here I am, I will simply just blow away all doors to all the established institutions and offer my exhibitions. There's a gap between the artist and the institutions often, and I really think that a festival should shorten that gap. Or at least be a bit bridge builder by offering exhibitions or talks or workshops to be a platform for all those artists.
Let's take just a quick break. We hope very much that you are enjoying today's episode. The very fact that you are listening to this podcast suggests that photography means a lot to you. And if that's the case, you might want to have a look at Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. We truly believe that excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit readframes.com to find out more about our publication and use the coupon code podcast to receive a recurring 10% discount on your new Frames magazine subscription. And now, back to today's conversation.
You know, one of the things that you wanted to do was give this festival a home. And now, at least, you know, for the next little while, you've got a 10,000 square meter exhibition park. You've got this really cool thing set up with the old container shipping containers. Describe for people, and again, this is not, everything isn't there. This is still a festival. This is still a coordination of you know, everybody on the planet. But tell us what the scene looks like and what your vision for a participant or a viewer would be.
Yes, that was at least two or three questions, but I will try to answer them. Yes, we have been quite nomadic, and 5 years ago we finally found a super nice home, which was without roof. It's this we are located. Our festival center is located in this huge green area, which used to be a really big shipyard district. And today it's a post-industrial green wilderness where things just grow as they like. No one really looks after this place. So you can come one day and you thought it was a bush, and the year after it has become a tree. And it's out of control in a way. At the same time, it's situated in this nice cultural district in Copenhagen, where you have a huge street food market on the right hand, and on the left hand you have this super nice art center called Copenhagen Contemporary. And you have all things going on in this area. And what we wanted to do out here since we moved there was to make an exhibition park. It means that we want to bring the art into the wilderness. So every year when we select exhibitions based on this open call, we are looking for our curatorial focus would be, can we select projects who would really fit these very, very special surroundings? Like, could they be, how would it look if they hang in the trees, or maybe we put them on the concrete blocks, or maybe people have to search in the bushes or between the grass and really be like, really try to be in the outdoor area. Plus, we have this mm-hmm. Really special construction, which we actually call frame, and it's 10 huge containers that we built together and totally redesigned. So they are one big construction of small areas where we also host exhibitions, of course. And sometimes it's super difficult to it can be a challenge to visualize this, because it seems to me that no one else is doing what we do, at least not in to this extent. Of course, other festivals have outdoor areas and do a few public exhibitions, but I think we are a bit radical, and I think that's part of the interest from this large international scene, because it's so radical in a way. But anyway, if you're an audience and you come to our exhibition park, then you would kind of have a nice stroll in this huge wilderness, where you hopefully experience that the distance between you and the art and the photography is like a very, very short, because we are really trying to kind of make an immersive experience and to make such an informal surrounding, so that we kind of tear down the white walls, you could say, and hopefully by taking away some of the traditional elements of an exhibition format, we hope that people feel relaxed, that they feel welcomed, and also that we reach an audience who wouldn't necessarily find themselves at home at an institution, at an art institution.
You have 50,000 visitors come through. How do you manage that?
We have 50,000 coming through the entire festival, I have to say. It would be wonderful if they all came to our exhibition park, but they don't.
They're all coming yet. On a Tuesday between 2
yes,
and 3
exactly.
o'clock.
Yes, exactly.
But how do you, I mean, this is not, you know, this year it's what, June 6th to June 16th, is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got 10, 11 days. That's still, you know, a lot of people every day.
Yes. But it's also a huge festival. I mean, we have more than 50 exhibitions in total, and they are spread all over Greater Copenhagen. And some of those places, they have really huge exhibitions and a lot of audience. So I think it's doable, I would say.
Let me read one of your quotes back to you about the exhibition space that you've got. You've said, you know, here urban nature is combined with photography, workshops, events, and parties for the joy of photography enthusiasts as well as the general public. Precisely this special combination of international photography, unconventional exhibition space, and sustainability today attracts people from all over the world.
Yes.
Now, okay. I get the international photography. I get the unconventional exhibition space. How does sustainability work into the idea and the mission of the Copenhagen Photo Festival?
Every year when we do the exhibitions in the festival center, in the exhibition park, we gently take down everything and we store all material that we use. And the year after, we take it out again and then we totally redesign it. And in that sense, we have wooden panels, we have pillars, we have plinths, we have iron tripods, we have a lot of stuff that we reuse year after year after year. So that is something that goes for the production material. And when it comes to the printing, as much as possible, we use upcycled paper, or I mean like eco-friendly paper. And when we do prints on Canva, afterwards, we redesign it to tote bags and stuff like that. Okay. for the volunteers and for people to buy. So we try to prolong the life of everything that we print, everything we order, everything we buy. We constantly think about, okay, what's the exit strategy? What's the aftermath? of this thing we are taking into use now.
I was smiling at a story you told in another interview about printing on dye bond.
Yes. So what were you smiling about, that we can reprint on it?
I was going to say, you don't print just once, do you?
No, we really try to reprint on it. So we never just throw, we would never just throw debond out. That would be not our business. But I think it's super interesting, this whole thing about the sustainability, because as a public and as an art scene, are we really ready for this sustainable aesthetic? Because of course, if you really, really want to be sustainable and you really want to reuse your material, of course, through time, it will be worn, it will be damaged, and, you know, and maybe you have some old chairs instead of some super nice design for your workshop space. And, you know, you have to do some compromises when it comes to the whole atmosphere and like the finish, and I think sometimes I'm like, okay, are we really ready for this as an audience and also as institutions for this more rough or rustique aesthetic of our setting?
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your role as curator and as a sort of aesthetic visionary for the festival, because in the first 5 years, it was open to every kind of photography that you could imagine. You decided to limit it to just two genres.
More or less.
Okay, tell me that story.
I look at this as a spectrum, and I think in the one end, you have like very, very conceptual photography from the art scene, in which maybe you don't like kind of the whole, how can I say, the storytelling behind it is not important. It's a lot about focusing on the photography as a medium, where the medium is the message, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And in mm-hmm. the other end of the scale, you would have like photojournalism and reportage, where it's like super, super focused on the content and the narrative. And that is basically, seen from my perspective, I would say that those two are the poles of the photography scale, so to speak. And of course, you would have a lot of dots in between, and one of the things that we haven't been working so much with, and I guess this is what you're aiming for, that I should mention, is fashion photography, because it's something that I think, I don't know exactly how to say this, but I think that it has its own scene in a way. But fashion photography doesn't need us. You know, I think it's kind of another industry. At least it has been. Maybe in the future we can include it in the program. But for the last 10 years, I would say we have had a stronger focus on the two poles. And I think it's also necessary to kind of make a selection and focus and not include everything. Because if we include everything, it becomes like nothing in a way. It's not interesting. And it's too overwhelming.
I agree, 500%. But I'm wondering about the heartache you must have, at 3 a.m. sometimes, because somebody sends in a fashion portfolio, but saying, no, my fashion portfolio is really fine art. And you're going to look at it and say, well, maybe. You've chosen fine art and documentary photography. Mm-hmm. And you say documentary, not photojournalism.
That is because if I say photojournalism, and I've experienced this quite a few times, if I say that we work with this, I sometimes experience that someone says, okay, but we don't work with photojournalism. And then I realized, but if you knew how broad it is, you would actually say, you would answer something else, because documentary photography is a much more broader approach. And that's why I deliberately say documentary photography instead, whereas photojournalism is just a part of that, I would say.
Another quote of yours that people seem to bring up and every interview I've seen, and I, like everybody else, I love this one.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
No, you can recite this one from memory, where you say that, you know, you have a straightforward approach to photography. Yes. You need to be moved by what you see, or I need to be convinced by a strong and consequent concept.
Yes.
Moved by what you see. We all have that. That's just an aesthetic response to an image. You look at it and your heart and your lungs just say, oh my Lord. But then what I love is this, that you need to be convinced by a strong and consequent mm-hmm. concept. Yes. What do you mean?
I think it sounds more interesting than it actually is, I'm afraid. But I mean, I go through a lot of projects, like, as you can imagine, many hundreds every year. And I'm also a portfolio reviewer for international festivals. And I've been in juries, and I love to do that. But I think that I'm always occupied with this little basic thing. It's very basic, but it's very difficult. Do you actually have a consistency between what you say you do and what you actually do in your photos or in your images, in your visual part? Is there coherence between the visual part and the way the artist or the documentary photographer describes what they are doing? And it seems so basic, but I think that many, many, many people don't really, really make this connection. They think they do something, but it's actually not what they do. And I think this ability to actually look, to step outside your own work and actually regard it with fresh eyes is a very, very important ability as an artist or any visual storyteller for that matter. And I think it's not so easy as you would think. So that's what I'm always looking for. And I think that, and do I feel a nerve in it? That's why I say if I'm convinced, because do I actually feel the person behind it? Is there a will? Is there a motivation? The why? Why must the world look into your photography? Sometimes people, they can tend to think that something is super important, but they haven't, you know, like, done the research and seen if maybe 50 other photographers are doing exactly the same. And of course, it's easier for me to know because I see a lot of photography, but I think it's an important research you need to do as an artist and as a photographer to always question the relevance of what you're doing. I think also for me as a director for the festival, I constantly ask myself, how are we relevant? And I think we all need to be relevant and take that into consideration in a world that is like stuffed with content all of the time.
So a lot of the work, you know, is outdoors. A lot of the work is very accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of your most provocative shows in the past or unprovocative, but where you've got people strolling along and they're just absolutely arrested by what they see.
Oh my God, that's a difficult question. Okay. I could mention a project that was giving us quite some challenge some years ago. We had this documentary project with a Norwegian World Press winning photographer, actually, and it was called White Rage. And it was actually about right-wing radicalism in Europe, in several Eastern European countries. And it was a project where many people they were quite captivated by these portraits of these people who were Nazis and were like totally good looking young people with white skin. And it was like, okay, should we even give space to this kind of exhibition? That's of course constantly mm-hmm. a question you would ask yourself. And he asked himself that question, Espen Rasmussen. And then I remember reading an interview with him where he said that, yes, we need to watch these people because we don't want them to just grow in the shadows. And I think that was a super important regard, and I totally agree with him. But I also think as a festival, you also need to show things you don't necessarily agree with yourself, because you need to tell this is how the world looks. This is part of the world, and we need to inform about super serious stuff going on in the world, even though we might not support it from a personal point of view. And we experienced, actually, we were trying to make a panel discussion with people from the whole spectrum, from the left wing to the right wing radicals, and it turned out that we had to cancel because the left-wing people, they didn't want to sit in a panel with the right-wing people. Mm. And that was, for me, I think I will never forget this, because I was like, after that cancellation of this panel discussion, I kind of felt offended in my democratic beliefs, because I was like, okay, we live in Denmark. I just read the other day that we are the second best country in the world when it comes to freedom of speech, which is such a privilege. And mm-hmm. even though we are here, we couldn't, as a festival, as a photo festival, we couldn't have a sober discussion about these super big differences and disagreements between the radicals on each of the two wings. And I really felt that was a poor day for democracy and art in Denmark. I think actually it's of all the things we have worked with, this is something that I will never forget. But what I also wanted to say is that people were super interested in the exhibition, and it got a lot of attention, and many people were afterwards giving compliments and saying, this is really super shocking, but also super relevant. And they were happy to actually get this insight.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get pushback from the general public saying this one's either too far, you know, afield or objectionable somehow?
I think this was the worst. Which okay. was at the same time, it kind of, it split the audience in a way.
Okay. Tell me about one of the best loved shows that you put on.
We have had so much throughout the years, but I would say that one of the things that was super nice and people were really happy about it was this German project called A Living Room, and it was about homeless people in San Francisco. But it's a German project. The artist is called Jana Sophia Nolle, and what she did was spending a lot of time with homeless people in San Francisco, and then they have their own kind of mobile homes. They have their values that they carry along with them wherever they sleep and wherever they stay. And in a way, you could say that this is their home. And what she then did was to get access to super rich people in the same city. And then she would organize that these homeless homes would be installed in the super rich apartments and super rich homes. So we had this very nice exhibition where you would see like a homeless installation of bags and garbage and all sorts of things, blankets, in this very neat, super designed living room, for instance. And we had this as a huge outdoor festival in the center, and people really loved it. So it was in a way, it was such a tight concept. It was so simple in a way, and again, it had so many layers. That is what I would say. That is a really strong project. Her project, Living Room, is a really good example of what I find like a really strong project.
Very cool. You have partnerships with galleries, with other exhibition spaces. You know, as you said, there's all sorts of spaces throughout Copenhagen during the festival. But you've also got partnerships with other organizations. One that attracted me just going, you know, doing my research here was the Nordic Futures Talents Program.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you know, explain who they are and explain how the groups all work together.
Futures is a European talent program, which is a super nice platform with we are more than 20 partners across Europe, and each year we select five talents that we think deserves to be part of this talent program. And here in Denmark, we choose to call them the Nordic talents because we reach out to the whole Nordic region to find our talents. And basically, it's about building bridge between talents across the entire Europe. And then we meet several times a year in different cities of Europe. And do workshops together and discussions and portfolio reviews. And we make a lot of collaborations between the partner institutions. And for us in Copenhagen, it's a super nice way of connecting Nordic young talent to our little community in Copenhagen. And every year we try to invite previous selected talents to become part of our own little Nordic Futures family.
Hey, you are doing such cool work. I mean, you're fostering the younger generations. You're provoking, you know, those of us that are of some age, you know, to rethink the way that we look at the world. A festival is an absolutely grand event, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple things. 15th anniversary. Mm-hmm. The theme is entanglement.
Yes.
What is what? Okay, now I know what quantum entanglement is. What do you mean by entanglement, and how's that going to play out if I'm strolling through the festival?
I think that for us at the festival, entanglement is a way of saying that we are all committed to each other. We are engaged in each other, whether we want it or not. We are also. Engaged in the past and in the future, because everything we do leaves a footprint. Mm-hmm. And so when we decided for this theme, we thought about, okay, you have climate changes, that the behavior we have in the global north is having a huge impact on the way they live in the global south. And it could be like what happens in Ukraine and Russia has a deeply impact on a lot of other people in Europe. And, you know, like constantly we are entangled to each other. And the other way of translating it for us is that this year it's an anniversary, and we would like to present or to celebrate how we are entangled with all our partners, all our current and previous artists throughout the years. They are so many, and all our audience and the galleries and the photo schools, and to kind of pay attention or pay some tribute to back to them, to say we are here, but we would be nowhere without you. So we are also trying to translate the entanglement theme this year with having much more like engaging activities in the mm-hmm. festival center. So we have much more activities for families and children, and we're doing a lot for our solo artists. They're going to do super nice workshops for young students from the photo schools, so they can mm-hmm. like be inspired of the more established artists. And in that sense, we are trying to make this exchange and dialogue between the new and the more established in a very like practical way. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you, the artists are doing workshops for the students instead of just a talk. Not, it's fine with talks, but it's also super nice to actually do something together. So they're going to do photography together, you know, but I think it's part of loosening up the hierarchy and the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maya, you're making me really wistful here. I want to be there. I so want to attend this.
then you have to remarry, I think, and come on a new honeymoon with your wife to Copenhagen.
We will redo our vows and be right there. And then we should tell everybody, because you know it's a bit of news to the Frames community, is that Frames Magazine is now a media partner mm-hmm. of the Copenhagen Photo Festival. So you know we are a part of that entanglement and ecstatic, really, really happy to be involved with you guys. Can you tell me what, I mean, I'm thinking of all the photographers out there who are listening to this right now thinking, well, this is great, except, you know, they've already decided for this year. Can you say anything about the theme or the application process for next year?
I cannot reveal the theme yet, but I can say that the theme will be revealed in the end of this festival.
Okay.
So you have to stay tuned for a little bit more than a month, and we will open the we will make an open call already in July. We will open it up, and then it will run a few months, so you have a lot of time to apply, and we will have a lot of great stuff happening next year, but I cannot reveal that now, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. This year's festival, I'm sure, is going to be an absolute, you know, resounding success. And the work you've done to focus, to rebrand, as you've said, you know, the festival is remarkable.
Thank you.
Looking at what I can see on the web, this is a world-class festival that you've got running there. And I have really, really appreciated this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, too. Thank you for the nice conversation. Hope to see you and some of the listeners in Copenhagen this summer.
Frames, because excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit us at www.readframes.com.